Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Miles Away. This is your host, Zach Honig. So today we are digging deep on Singapore. There's a lot to unpack there, I would say. Singapore is a tiny city-state, but there is an awful lot to do. And as we'll dig into a little bit more in the podcast today, there's even a few side trips to different countries you can take. So today we have Emily McNutt, our global news editor, joining us again. Welcome, Emily.
Thanks, Zach.
And our global reviews editor. Can I call you global reviews editor, Nick?
Yeah, we're going to go with that.
Okay, Nick Ellis, our global reviews editor. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Zach.
So both of you guys have been to Singapore. How many times have you been there? Let's see, Emily.
I've been once, okay. But I was there for 6 days.
Six days.
So a pretty solidly long trip.
Okay, I've probably taken 6 one-day trips, so I think that we're on the same page there. Yeah. How about you, Nick?
I've been twice. The first time was for about 12 hours, and the second time was for about 2 or 3 days.
So those sound like mileage run trips. Were they mileage run trips?
The first one was a mileage run for sure. We had a choice between 5 and 12 hours, and we chose 12, so... happy I did.
Okay, so aside from mileage running and stopping over en route to another Southeast Asian destination, what brings you to Singapore? Why would you recommend that someone go?
Yeah, I think Singapore is such a cool destination because you think of it and you think of this sprawling metropolis, kind of tall buildings, lots of glamour, kind of crazy rich Asians type lifestyle.
And crazy rich Asians, it's probably a reason a lot of people are going to
I can imagine that travel to Singapore right now is crazy because of crazy rich Asians. But I think that it's a great place to go if you're looking for something that is very much an Asian influence, but it's also very Western in the way that many of the buildings are, in much of the way that
the architecture, the cuisine.
Yeah, exactly. You have a mix of everything because there's so much influence from British influence and
China,
just all around Asia.
Malaysia,
so
yeah.
You get a really nice mix while you're there,
of a good intro to Asia.
I would say that.
And there's a lot of Indian influence as well.
Great
Indian
food. Big Indian
population, a lot of very good Indian food.
Yes,
Michelin-starred Indian food for cheap.
Oh, I didn't even know about that. Okay, need to add it to my list for next time.
How
about you,
Nick?
What brings you to Singapore or will bring you back?
Yeah, I love the contrast of the hyper-modern skyline, like at Marina Bay Sands and all that kind of stuff, and the Merlion, that whole area. But then, you know, back off the bay is Little India and Chinatown and little neighborhoods where you get a really authentic feeling city. There's a lot of influences from all over the world.
So I've been to Singapore a bunch of times now. I think I've lost count. You know, there's so many opportunities in our line of work to go to Singapore. Singapore Airlines launch events, new routes, the new world's longest flight, which we'll talk about a little bit in the second segment. But I'm going to say about a dozen times I've been there, and each time it grows on me a little bit more. I'd say the first time I went, I'm like, I don't really want to spend another couple days here. You know, it feels there's so many Australians here. It doesn't really feel like a genuine, you know, Asian destination. But then the second time and third time, each time I went, I discovered there's a lot more to it. And there's just so much to do. There's hiking. There's excursions that you can do.
Yeah.
I haven't actually done that side boat trip to Indonesia, but you can actually do a day trip to Indonesia, which is pretty crazy.
It's wild, and it's so cheap, too, which is great for budget travelers, but also if you're not traveling on a budget, it's still a really enticing, you know, day trip to Indonesia. So Singapore is partly surrounded by water, and you take a ferry from right on the bay to Batam, which is an Indonesian island. It's closest to Singapore. It's about a 30 to 40 minute ferry ride.
Wow, that is close.
It's really close. And you feel worlds away, which is cool. So if you're in Singapore for, you know, 5 days, 6 days longer, and you want to get away and you want to do something, a little bit of break from the city, it's a really nice day trip. And there are packages that you can buy through hotels right on Batam. I did one with the Turi Beach Resort. And for a day trip package, it's $55 a person, including round trip ferry. You get access to their beach, you get access to their pool, you get a lunch, and there's a bar. It's really incredible for only $55.
Wow, okay.
And you feel like you're worlds away.
Yeah, definitely. So you were there 6 days. I mean, it definitely helped you break up your stay, I would say.
For sure. It was a nice break from, you know, being constantly surrounded by concrete to be right on the water, and it's pretty picturesque.
We say New York is a concrete jungle, but Singapore really, I mean, it's in the middle of the jungle, and it
literally is the concrete jungle. Yeah.
Literally.
Nick, I think I cut you off. What were you?
Oh, and not to mention getting away from Singapore's prices for
food
and
drinks.
That's true.
Besides
at the hawker centers. Yeah.
And that's important to note, because a lot of people think that Southeast Asia just as a whole is very reasonable, and you know, you can buy food for, well, the food's still pretty cheap in Singapore, but it can get pricey. I know I went to a hawker center and got a whole chili crab, and I think it was like $80 or something.
Wow.
It was a little bit much. But if you go to, I went to one of those restaurants in the dark. I don't know if you've ever done that before.
Oh, where you eat fully in the dark?
Everything is it's completely in the dark.
Oh,
you have no idea what you're eating. The servers are actually blind, but you feel like you are when you're there. You can see, it's pitch black. But Singapore has basically everything to offer, everything that you can, every type of cuisine, every type of activity. The only thing it doesn't have is cool weather. It's
always
unbearable
hot.
Sometimes.
Humid.
Humid and all year round seems like the rainy season.
Yeah, but it's spotty usually. When I was there, it would rain for a couple hours a day, and then it would clear right up and then be extra humid.
Right, yeah. But I mean, I've been caught in the middle of a monsoon, and you don't know when it's going to hit.
And it's not even like your phone, the hourly weather app in the morning will show you, so you know to prepare for it.
It shows you rain all day.
Yeah, or it just, the monsoon shows up immediately, and you're kind of stuck without anywhere to go. That happened to me.
I've stood in many a hawker center waiting for the rain to pass, and it just takes a few minutes. I mean, it kind of comes and goes. But who would you recommend a trip to Singapore for? Obviously, anyone flying through Southeast Asia or to other destinations in Southeast Asia, especially from the U.S., you know, there's a good chance that you'll pass through Changi Airport. But aside from, you know, a day stopover or maybe an overnight, you know, who should pick Singapore as a destination?
Yeah, I've been recommending it strongly to people like my parents who haven't been to Asia yet. Like we said earlier, perfect acclimation city for Asia, because you can have all the comforts of home, so to speak, but you're right there in the middle of Southeast Asia. So, you know, when you dig a little deeper and you get a little bit farther out from the main city center, you're going to, you know, get those elements that are more typical to the region.
Right, yeah. I mean, especially if you're trying to introduce yourself to the cuisine. Americanized, we hear a lot about Americanized Chinese food, for example, which is very different than the food that you'll find in China. But if you've never traveled throughout Asia before, I think Singapore is a really good place to discover a lot of, you know, cuisines, authentic cuisine. And then if one day you're like, you know what, I really just want a pizza, or, you know, I want
totally
a delicious French meal, that's something that you can get there, which is kind of crazy. The one thing that really surprised me about Singapore, and after you've been, it probably won't surprise you anymore, but casinos are really popular there. So there's one main casino, the Marina Bay Sands Hotel, that we'll talk about in segment two. But a lot of people from the region go to Singapore to gamble, which is, you know, it's kind of nice because it keeps people off of the, you know, the trails and out of the parks and things like that. Because, you know, if they're there to gamble and shop, that's kind of the focus. But did you visit any casinos during your Singapore trips?
Not a big gambler. I did not.
No,
I didn't realize that gambling was big there.
Oh,
I mean, I went through the casino at Marina Bay Sands, but that was about it.
It's all over the place. And there's actually a Universal Studios, too.
Interesting.
Yeah, in Sentosa. So Sentosa is interesting. Sentosa is an island just off. Well, it's part of Singapore, but there's a footbridge that you can walk over or take a taxi there. There's a whole bunch of hotels. It has a completely different feel. You don't really feel like you're in the concrete jungle anymore. It has more of a jungle vibe, and there are beaches, and there's the W there. I think there's Le Meridian. There's a lot of chain hotels.
Yeah, I've noticed that in that. The Capella Resort.
Yeah.
Where the famous summit. The famed.
I completely forgot about that until now.
Yeah.
The famed Trump Kim Summit in Singapore.
Yep.
And the Capella Hotel, I actually wrote about this. They have a special package you can do. You can spend a lot of money.
Yes.
And get a tour of some of the venues, if that's something that you're after.
So Singapore is a little something for everyone.
Literally every single person will find something to see and do in Singapore. So we've got a lot more to talk about in the second segment. I want to talk about flight options, of which there are many, and points hotels as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we are back with Emily McNutt, our global news editor at TBG, and Nick Ellis, our global reviews editor, talking about Singapore, which is a destination many of us kind of find ourselves in, even if we don't intend on visiting it specifically.
And the reason, that's how it always happens.
It does. It happens. That's my first visit to Singapore happened that way, and probably my third and fifth and seventh. But the reason for that is there's just so many flights now from the U.S. to Singapore connecting on. So if you want to go to Bali, even if you want to go to parts of Australia, like Perth, you know, a connection in Singapore can make a lot of sense. So, Nick, you were talking about you did that mileage run. So that was on Delta. Was it Delta all the way?
It was Delta Metal all the way through because a few of their remaining
Fifth Freedom flights?
Well, they're not. They used to have a full hub at Narita, and they did Bangkok and Manila and Singapore and like Shanghai and stuff. Now it's mainly just Manila and Singapore.
Okay, so they do Tokyo Narita to Manila and Singapore.
Yes, yeah.
So you did, there's a Fifth Freedom on Delta. United used to offer Hong Kong Singapore, but now that they have nonstops from San Francisco, they've kind of eliminated that. Speaking of San Francisco, that's probably the best connected U.S. city, I would say, to Singapore. There's sometimes two daily United flights. And some days a week, there's also two daily Singapore flights from San Francisco. And Los Angeles as well has, I believe, one daily Singapore flight. But the one that really stands out now is the new world's longest flight, the original world's longest flight, and it has returned. It is Singapore 21 is the flight number, and that's from Newark to Singapore nonstop. And depending on the day, it can be up to 19 hours.
Oof. That is a long one.
Definitely want to be up front for that.
Yes. Well, they don't actually have economy at all on the plane. They have business class, and then they have premium economy. But I have to say, I did the world's longest flight, and premium economy kind of feels like coach. I did fly business class, but I poked on back there a few times, and it's a really big cabin, a premium economy.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't feel all that different than a regular coach experience. So if you can, I would pay or redeem miles to fly up in business class.
And Singapore has been releasing quite a bit of availability for that.
They have a lot of availability, yeah, especially premium economy, but I've seen a lot of business class awards as well. Important to note, though, if you are flying Singapore Airlines, including the Fifth Freedom flight, so there are some one-stop flights. For example, they do Houston to, I believe it's Manchester, and then Manchester to... Is it Manchester? I think so. Nick's like almost... It was Manchester.
And then they changed it, but I think it is still Manchester.
Okay. Well, let's say it's Manchester. It's somewhere in Europe, so it stops in Europe. It's an A350 and continues on to Singapore. There is, of course, the JFK Frankfurt Singapore on
the
A380.
That's what I flew.
Yeah. I just did that as well. I did it in suites. That was my first suites flight.
I was in premium economy. It was their first premium economy A380.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. And then on the return, that's when you upgraded,
I upgraded using points from premium economy on a paid fare to business.
Which is pretty easy to do, actually.
There's very simple.
And they've got a decent amount of availability. So if you don't find regular saver awards in business class, you can book a paid premium economy fare and then upgrade to business.
Yeah, it was about 26,000 Chris Flyer miles transferred from Chase.
Okay. So one very interesting thing about Chris Flyer is it is a partner of all of the transferable point programs.
Very nice.
So you can transfer from Citi, you can transfer from Amex, and you can transfer from Chase. The other one, I guess, is Marriott now. I was going to say SPG. But yeah, you can transfer from Marriott as well. But what I like to do is you actually transfer from Citi, because I find Citi Thank You Rewards to to maybe be just barely, but the least valuable of the transferable point programs. Mm-hmm. Save the Chase points for something a little more exciting, maybe. And then Amex membership rewards, perhaps Aeroplan is the best option there. Okay. But definitely an option, and there's some instant transfers as well. So if you find availability, you can then transfer over to Chris Flyer and then book. But other than that, there are not all of the U.S. airlines. I guess American doesn't fly there, but United has flights from San Francisco as well. They used to do Los Angeles, which was the longest United 787-9 flight. But that turned out to not be so profitable, it seems. There are a lot of open seats on that flight, so they shifted it to San Francisco. I think it makes more sense for, you know, San Francisco to be a hub for connections. There's a lot more flights going in there. And also there's a lot of people in Silicon Valley that probably want to, you know, head to Singapore offices.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of business travel, which, depending on the route, can make it a little tricky to get saver awards. Depends on the route and the day of the week. So if you're willing to travel on a day that doesn't have a lot of business travelers, then, you know, you'll have a better chance of getting an upgrade or getting an award seat.
And I think another important thing to mention, too, about Chris Flyer is the waitlist awards, which they often don't release, or it's harder to find outright award space. Instead, they list waitlist space, which is not guaranteed that you get the seat, but it's still, they've changed the rules recently. Their program terms that they will now clear at least 14 days in advance. So if it doesn't clear within 14 days, then you can go ahead and find other alternative arrangements. Have more space. You have more time between that 14-day period, during that 14-day period,
right,
if you need to.
So you'll know for sure if you're going to get it.
Right, exactly.
I've also heard that some people have success just calling in as you get closer to the departure date and saying, hey, you know, I'm waitlisted. Is there anything you can do?
Mm.
And then if there's a lot of seats for sale, sometimes they'll push it through. Not immediately on the phone, but they forward it on to a different desk department that you don't get to speak to.
Never hurts to ask.
It never hurts to ask. Yes, definitely. And then as far as hotel options, I would say Singapore is among the richest destinations when it comes to points hotels.
For sure. Just about every major hotel brand has a presence there, for sure. There are so many from, you know, non-chain hotels or non-points chain hotels like the Four Seasons, Six Senses, you know, those kind of places, to the Raffles and the Fullerton, which are the classics. But there are tons of points hotels like a Conrad. IHG has, like, at least one Hotel Indigo, two Intercontinentals.
And then the one hotel that really stood out to me, and I didn't have high expectations. I'm not sure why, but I was pretty blown away, I would say, is the Andaz.
Yeah, I stayed there.
It's a really cool property.
Yeah, very, very cool. I was there, I think it had just opened, like, 3 days before. So some things like the rooftop bar weren't finished.
Oh, okay. It was ready when I was there, and it's nice. It's a cool place to watch the sunset.
Yeah, it was like...
And those storms we were talking about.
Yeah, it was really cool. The rooftop pool is amazing. They had that great view of the CBD. Like, it was really cool.
And CBD, Central Business District. Yes, yeah. But that's what they call it.
That's what they call it, yeah.
And there's a lot of Marriott hotels. There's a St. Regis, which is pretty affordable when it comes to St. Regis's.
Yeah, for cash rates, for sure. And there's also a Westin...
The Westin's nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's walking distance from the CBD, and it's pretty new. I was actually there on the opening weekend.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the nicest Westins I've stayed at.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A very nice club lounge, which is something you don't always see with Westin hotels.
Definitely not. There's also a Grand Hyatt as well that's even cheaper points-wise than the Andaz. It's $20,000 a night, so that's a Category 5.
Oh, I stayed there the last time I was there.
So
the Grand Hyatt was nice, but I definitely prefer the Andaz.
Yeah, the Andaz is super cool.
I would actually spend... Normally, you'd see a Grand Hyatt and Andaz probably priced pretty comparably for redemptions, but here I would say it's justified spending a little bit more to get the Andaz.
Yeah, the Andaz is super, super cool. I stayed at the Warehouse Hotel the last time I was there.
Is that a design
for
hotel?
Two of the nights? Yeah, or a design or a tribute or
one
of those.
Tribute. Yes.
I think it might be a design.
There's too many
hotel.
Brands
I know,
now.
Way too many. That was a really cool space. It was like, you know, away from the CBD, near like Robertson Quay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really close, like cool, like more local restaurants. But it was kind of funny. My room didn't have any windows in it. It was a really cool designed room, but it was so dark that when I fell asleep, there was just no hope of waking up.
I've never stayed in a hotel room without windows
before. It was
wild.
Yeah, it was wild.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I might scratch that one off the list, but if you're looking for a windowless hotel experience.
The lobby was really cool. It had a really cool bar. And then outside, it had this pool that was like a completely glassed-in box. Huh. And then, so like,
okay,
if you're
gonna
swimming
have to show me a picture later.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to answer that. You know, one thing I would recommend, perhaps for the first-time visitor, is to pick a couple hotels, especially if you have a longer stay, because there's different areas to focus on in Singapore. And
definitely,
it's not the most walkable city, but I've been able to, you know, I've walked around. The MTR, is it called the MTR there?
Yes.
Yeah, the subway system there is really reliable.
It's
unlike
great.
Our system here.
It's great. It's so, I love it.
But if you're going for work even, you know, maybe spend your work nights in a CBD hotel and then, you know, book something in Sentosa for the weekend.
Yeah.
You're looking to, you know, relax a little bit and maybe spend some time on the beach. So it's definitely a well-rounded destination.
And also there's a really good Airbnb scene too. When I stayed in an Airbnb, it was really affordable, and the pool culture in Singapore is huge. There's an infinity pool, I think, just
everywhere.
About on every building.
Yeah.
So my Airbnb, we had access to an infinity pool, and for a fraction of a price of
well,
hotel.
The Marina Bay Sands has probably what's the world's
most famous.
And it is really cool.
So yeah. Cool.
It's also maybe one of the world's most famous selfie hotspots.
Yes.
So there are many people that get in the pool just to take pictures of themselves.
But you have to be a guest to
yeah,
go
you have
into
to be
pool.
A guest.
You do. And being a guest is not cheap.
No.
No, it's, and you can't use points there.
You cannot use points.
No. But you can go up to a bar that's off to the side. You pay 20 Singapore dollars. And you go up to this bar, and it's just like on the side of the pool.
Oh, and the
and your
Sky
first
Park
drink is free or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. It's basically nothing to go up if you get a drink. It has almost the same view. You're not going to have like that straight on, you know, view
arms
of you.
On the rail.
Yeah, arms on the railing of the
right.
infinity pool. But you can make it work.
Yeah,
and that's basically all that people do up there. It's like a mad dash for the corner, like the most corner area of the bar.
I would say, you know, maybe instead of booking a second, I'm now having second thoughts, my suggestion, maybe pick another destination in Southeast Asia. You know, I would say that if you've never been to Asia before, starting in Singapore can make a lot of sense, but I would go on to somewhere else. So maybe Bali's just a 2-hour flight.
Yeah, everything is so
Bangkok's
close.
Bangkok's a 2-hour flight. You can fly nonstop to a lot of destinations. Borneo is nearby. There's just a lot of options. So
definitely.
You can take the ferry to Indonesia.
You can take the ferry, which I'm going to do, or at least I'm saying I'm going to do it. I've got to.
It's
I've
well worth it.
I need someone to push me over, just like.
Well, it's inevitable
trip.
That you'll be in Singapore
yes.
this year at
yeah,
some point.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. I will definitely catch up more on Singapore after another trip. There's a lot more to unpack. You know, Gardens by the Bay, digging into Sentosa. There's just a lot there. So thank you guys for joining me, and we will chat again soon. That's all for this episode of Miles Away. Thanks again to Nick and Emily. Again, I am your host, Zach Honig, and this episode was produced by Caroline Chagrin with editing by Ryan Gabos. Our theme music is by Alex Schiff. If you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends, and we'll see you back here next Wednesday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.